There's times where you're uncomfortable, but these two words really took me to a different place, which was question God. That's what I had this morning right off the bat, and those words actually came from him. He was telling me, question God, like, well, question me as much as possible. And so I started to have to think, like, what questions, if I got to ask anything, what questions would I have? And what I found with my relationship with the Lord is that every time I ask him a question, it's not that he's offended. It's actually that he draws closer to me. I get answers. He gives me opportunity to be able to study, and that's what we're going to be going through today. I'm going to give you the, I think, five questions that I asked today of God. And my pops told me like this. He came out of the garage one time, and he was really, really fired up. And I said, Pop, you okay? And he said, yeah, I was just in the garage yelling at God. And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, he wants us to question him. He wants us to yell at him. He wants us to be real with him because he already knows what's in our heart. So if we're faking it and acting like we are okay with all the circumstances that are happening, he already knows where our heart's at. So isn't it better, son, just to be real with him? And at that point, it helped me to realize that when I questioned God, my relationship would get deeper with him. We're studying Proverbs 15, which is the corresponding proverb for the corresponding day. And I'm excited to jump into today's episode. It's 3,000-year-old wisdom that is applicable in your leadership, your systems, your culture. So let's get this party started. If you had access to the one who owned it all? What if you had access to the one that could give you access to everything? Well, see, membership has its privileges, but your heart will give you access. And that was the thing that God let me know the other day, because we could pay for a membership, but you can't fake your heart. The only way to be able to get to the heart of a situation or a scenario is to ask questions. God calls us to be childlike, not childish, but childlike. And I used to confuse the two. So I used to try and, you know, puff up and create big words or try and be as important as possible. And what I found was that when I became curious about the certain situations and I started asking questions, it started to open up a completely different realm in relationships and everything like that. And check this out. God's vibe is always, well, here's the definition of it, is the way that people feel when they walk away from you. And what's God's vibe? God's vibe is whenever you spend time with him, you feel amazing walking away, thinking that, oh, God's vibe is positive or it's uplifting or things like that. But it's really the way in which he makes you feel, or he allows you to feel, by the things in the relationship that you have with him. The corresponding proverb for the corresponding day has been transformative for me over the last 30 years. And I said I wasn't a Bible scholar. One of my friends, Wayne, he said to me, actually, you are, because you've been studying it for 30 years. I don't consider myself that, but thank you so much, Wayne. I love you. In today's Proverbs 15, the corresponding proverb for the corresponding day. And the reason why this is so important is because reading the same exact proverb on March 15th and you read it on February 15th, it's going to read different because your circumstances are different. You're dealing with different things. And it drives home the fact that what my wife told me, she said, people won't see what you do. They won't hear what you say. They'll only hear where they're at. And you'll hear different words based off of where you're at in your circumstances when you read the corresponding proverb for the corresponding day. But that 3,000-year-old principle-based wisdom will be able to speak to you in that in those scenarios. So let's jump right in. The whole time today was just question God, or when he was talking to me today, question me. And then I asked myself, I said, what questions do I have for God? Or what questions do you have for God? And ask yourself this. The first question that I had was, how do I control my tongue? Like, there's so many times that I want to say something, or I want to, I want to blast on someone. It's because of the way that I was feeling maybe most of the time before I came into the scenario. And imagine that vibe. We go back to it. Most of the time we think our vibe is the energy that we bring into a place. Oh, my vibe has got to be high. No, it's about the way that people feel when you leave the environment. And if we switch that paradigm, now we start to think about, how can I help people to feel a little bit different? Well, in how do I control my tongue, I ask God this because a lot of times when I want to react or I want to say a certain thing, it's not because of what happened right then. It's because what happened 5 hours ago that person had nothing to do with at all. And I found myself on edge yesterday at football practice. I coach my son's sixth grade flag football team, and I found myself on edge, but it wasn't because of what I was dealing with at practice. It was because of what I had dealt with throughout the day. And I had woke up and I wasn't having the greatest day in the world. And I had the tendency to do this. I projected that onto the kids. So my attitude was already fixed because of the circumstances that I went through earlier on. So how do I control my tongue? That's the thing that I ask God. And in verse 1 and 2, it says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. In verse 2, it says, the tongue of the wise adorns knowledge, but the mouth of fools gush folly. And in 3, it says, the eyes of the Lord are everywhere, keeping watch on the wicked and the good. And what it helped me to realize is that God can see you and he knows your heart. In verse 4, it says, a soothing tongue is a tree of life, but the perverse tongue crushes the spirit. And it goes on in verse 5, verse 6, verse 7, verse 8, verse 18, verse 25, and 26. And I'll jump to 26. It all talks about the power of the tongue and how you can control it. In verse 26, it says, the Lord detests the thoughts of the wicked, but gracious words are pure in his sight. So my second question that I came to today, my number two question was, why should I have discipline when there are so many shortcuts and I see people flourishing using them? This is a question that I run into a lot in myself. I watch, and God says, like, you know, wisdom, it's the slow process, it's the slow burn, build the foundation, do the right thing. And then I look around the world, and this is bad because I compare myself, but I want you to know that maybe I'm human just like you, or maybe you never do this. But I look around and I'm like, look at all those people taking shortcuts. Look at all those people that are not building a foundation. Look at all this. Why is it, God, that you want me to go slow and build this foundation that's going to be what you say so strong, but in my eyes, it just takes longer. And then I see people flourishing in other situations and they maybe aren't the greatest in the world. I questioned this a lot when my pops passed away. You know, there was, and even my brother said it, you know, there was a lot of people doing a lot of wrong things. My pops was doing a lot of right things. His heart was right. He was blessing so many people. If you knew Pops, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And his life was cut short. Why is that? But in verse 5, he started to answer it. And in verse 5, it says, a fool spurns a parent's discipline, but whoever heeds correction shows prudence. In verse 9, if we jump to verse 9 down at the bottom of the page in Proverbs 15, the Lord detests the way of the wicked, but he loves those who pursue righteousness. In verse 10, a stern discipline awaits anyone who leaves the path, and anyone who hates correction will die. In verse 11, it says, death and destruction lie open before the Lord. How much more do human hearts? So you know why you're doing it as opposed to just what you're doing. And he goes on in verse 12 and verse 16, verse 17, verse 27 to answer the question. Sometimes it's not the answer that I want, but he definitely answers it. My third question this morning, how does the joy of the Lord pass all understanding? Because we hear this all the time. And I just ask why, like, how does it do that? And so in verse 30, it says, light in a messenger's eyes brings joy to the heart, and good news gives health to the bones. Light in a messenger's eyes, they say the eyes are the window to the soul. So light, it means that your soul is light and is flourishing. How does that happen? When we have a right relationship with God. What's a right relationship with God? Just being present with them, having a conversation, not through ritual or religion, but just having a conversation. Brings joy to the heart. What's joy? Fall in love with your current circumstances and allowing magic to happen. It's not having all the perfect things happen. But that when that joy comes to the heart, it says good news bring health to the bones, health to the body. And in verse 13, 15, 20, 23, he answers how joy passes all understanding. And the question four that I had was, why should I seek wise counsel? In verse 22, it says, plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they will succeed. In verse 24, it says, the path of a life leads upward for the prudent. Prudent is a person who takes care or thought of the future to keep them going down or to keep them from going down to the realm of the dead. In verse 20, let's see, it goes, a wise son brings joy to his father, but a foolish man despises his mother. So, I went backwards in that. So let's go to 25 in this. The Lord tears down the house of the proud, but he sets the widow's boundary stones in place. And the final question that I had today is, why should I fear the Lord? Or why should I fear you, God? Like he says, the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the God, fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, right? So not fear and trembling, but fear as far as respect. But I wanted to know, why should I fear you? Because it's a cycle, right? So if you fear God, then you get wisdom. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. So if we fear God or respect him, then we gain wisdom. Wisdom is the right use of knowledge. That means that next we gain knowledge. When we gain knowledge of him, then he gives us understanding. When he gives us understanding, he gives us insight. That insight will lead to discretion. Discretion will lead to discipline. Discipline will lead to strength. And that strength will ultimately lead us back to the fear of God. So I asked myself, like, why should I fear you in the first place, God? And he answered this. In verse 33, it says, wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord, and humility comes before honor. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord. The beginning of wisdom is fear of God. But why should I fear you? Well, he said, well, if you spend time with me, I'll show you that before I'll ever honor you, you need to be humble. And if you're humble, then you'll spend time with me. You'll understand my character. And when you understand my character, it'll cause you to respect me because I have never lied, I never will, and I'm consistent with my word. And when that happens and we gain respect for him, that's the fear of God. But he says to stay humble, and that humility comes before honor because he wants to honor us at the highest level, but he wants us to be humble before he honors us, because when we turn around and tell someone why we are in such honor, right, why we have access, right? Membership has its privileges, but our heart will give us access. Why do we have access? Because we serve the Most High. And that's the only reason. And so what he wants us to do is once we gain access, when we gain access to that environment, he wants us to tell our testimony about him and that it has nothing to do with us, but has everything to do with who built us and who we commune with. And when we fear him, it brings wisdom. Wisdom brings knowledge. Knowledge brings in understanding, insight, discretion, discipline, and discipline brings us right back to strength, and that strength will bring us right back to the fear or respect of God. So today what I invite you to do with the corresponding proverb for the corresponding day is ask God some questions before you ever read it. And I encourage you on your journey to question him. When you question God, your relationship will go to a completely different level. It's been Proverbs 15, the corresponding proverb, corresponding day, 3,000-year-old wisdom that, you know what, is applicable in leadership systems, culture, every single aspect, our relationships, everywhere in our life. I want to thank you so much for tuning in and rocking with the podcast. My name is Kelly Cardenas, and I'm officially off the hot seat. Peace, love, and soul.